We continue our study in Corinthians, and this particular chapter is kind of interesting to me. Since I became a Christian in the ripe old age of 40, or whatever that was, it's been on my heart that a lot of the reasons it took me so long was a lot of Christians didn't even know their own belief system very well and couldn't really explain it, but they were really good at picking out pieces of Scripture that they really like. In fact, there's whole entire stores that you can go into that sell pieces of Scripture. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you can buy the little plaque that says, you know, John 3:16, and you can buy the little picture frame that has a little Bible verse in it. We're very good at picking out Bible verses that we like, and yet we never really look deeply at what we're doing. One of the songs that we sang this morning was, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus." And then people will say the New Testament is all about love. Well, and it certainly is. But if we stop and just look at love in a surface fashion, we actually kind of miss the point of the gospel, I think. And our chapter today, 1 Corinthians 13:13, is very often called the love chapter. We'll talk about why as we go forward. 13 simple verses. But let's pray over the word of God before we begin. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to look deeply into your word so that the message that you have for us today is the message that you would have us receive. So bless the reading of the word. And Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And if you will open your Bibles to that section, the issue for me on this chapter is we can look at a verse in a surface fashion or we can look more deeply. And it's that deep, deep understanding that is the very often the most important message. So context, context, context is everything. So we're going to read these chapters all about love and whatnot. But remember, where is this? In the letter to the Corinthians, he's doing corrective actions. They're running off and trying to have Jesus and have idols. And they're having factions and dissensions among themselves and divisions and that sort of thing. And they're following different people. And he's been giving them advice on how not to do that or what they should be doing. And then he comes to these short 13 verses. And I believe what Paul is doing is trying to give them the key to make all of that other stuff actually work. So we very often see this section used primarily in weddings. So we're going to be talking about love. We're surrounded by things which we may not be aware, but one of the things that we are surrounded by is the love of God, his very presence, his power, his permanent love. But what kind of love? Not the Valentine card kind of love. When we say love, very often in our culture today, we think, oh, love, I love her. I love him. I love my children. It's a sweet, loving kind of love. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. When the Bible talks about love, they're talking about something a little bit deeper. Not this Valentine flowers candy love, but all, and not also the carnal, sensuous, erotic love, which our culture is too full of today. Not that warm, fuzzy love we may have for your pet. Oh, I love my pet. It's agape love. Agape meaning it's the intelligent, deliberate, intentional, self-sacrificing, goodwill kind of love. The God is love kind of love. So as we begin, it's best described in this well-known chapter. So let's go to the Word of God, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And Paul says, to the Corinthians. Now remember, after all the things he's tried to tell them on how they should and shouldn't act, he says this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, thank you, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, And if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So what's this? What is he saying here? If I do all kinds of good Christian works and I help the poor and I encourage people to come to church, if I do all of that stuff, but it's not coming from love, you're just kind of making noise. There's one word that most people who don't like Christianity, they use more often than any other word. People will say, and if you know the word, just throw it in here. Oh, you Christians are hypocrites. You're hypocrites. You preach one thing on Sunday morning, but you do one thing out of the world. And that's the problem. So if we're doing and saying and doing all of these nice things and we're giving money to charity and all that, but we don't have love in our hearts, we're just making noise. Nothing that we do matters unless it comes from a place of love. But look at the good things that can come of this. Oh, click the button. There we go. We have so much fun with this. It works just before you get here. And then it never works again. But I got a good person back there. Here's the one, and you've heard this so many times that you could probably recite it in your sleep. I don't think there's been, if you've been to 10 weddings in your life, I'll bet 8 of them had this as part of the service. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. But as for knowledge, it will pass away also. Now, this is a nice list, and we love this list, and we always think of it in terms of a man and woman joining together, and these are like marital instructions. But we want to go a little bit deeper than that. Notice how love is made obvious as much by what it does not do as by what it does. One who expresses love does not display envy, boasting, arrogance, rudeness, irritability, etc. It values truth above all wrongdoing. You know, verse 7, look at verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In our culture today, someone would read that verse and they go, well, that's kind of a Pollyanna kind of person. They're kind of gullible. They're the people that the phone scammers want to call, right? But that's not what Paul's trying to say. That's not the idea. Bearing all things, believing all things, and all this suggests that the loving person gives the benefit of doubt to those that they love. True love does not fade. Bearing with one another and all of this sort of thing, it means that your initial reaction when you're in a relationship with someone that you actually love, sometimes, believe it or not, people will say things, even though they're in love, that the other person takes exception to. But here's what this is trying to convey. If there is true love between the two people, your first reaction shouldn't be, that person intended to hurt me. There must be something else going on here. If your first reaction is defensive, then the question is, what's the love there? It bears all things. It means stuff happens in a relationship. Am I right? And so you don't jump to the conclusion that the other person had an evil intent. It believes all things. I want to believe what you're saying to me. But let me step back for a second. We are so used to looking at this text as a marital thing. We're just talking about the love between a man and a woman. How about your relationships with other people in the family of God? One of the things that kills churches more than anything else is gossip and people taking exception to something that somebody said, and they must have meant this, and they're probably talking about me, and churches divide and they split because we tend to attribute bad intentions to people. So this isn't just about what goes on between a man or a woman. This goes talk about what goes on in a family. Do you know that the Thanksgiving dinner is almost a joke in our culture? Oh, we're all going to get together at Thanksgiving dinner, and oh my gosh, Uncle Harry's going to be there, and it's going to be stressful, and we're going to end up fighting, and it's a joke. They make movies about when the family gets together for Thanksgiving, bad stuff happens, and all that kind of thing. Why is it a joke? Because it actually happens. When you get a group of people that are of a family, now family could be your physical, personal family, or it could be the family of God. When you get those people together, we need to bear all things, believe all things, we need to endure all things, we need to love each other in a way that we forgive one another, because that's what love actually is. God's love motivates and supplements everything else he does. When he disciplines or chastises us, that's in love also. You know, when we chastise people, people say we're not loving. We're not loving. But how can that possibly be? How can that possibly be? If you love a child, for instance, you don't let them do bad things. You guide them away from things that are going to hurt them, even though that's going to make them really, really angry because they want to do what they want.